Never a future fulfillment of the birthright. Never a future fulfillment of the scepter promise over Israel or Judah, but only over the Christian church. And you notice how they used it. They didn't even call it the churches of God, or the church of God. They had to call it the Christian church because they rejected the name Church of God in 1861. Yes?
Yes, sir. I just wondered, under the assumption that salvation was offered to the Israelites,
yes,
of old, how do they account for where Christ sent his apostles out to the Israelites first? To the Jews?
Well,
to the
because Israelites? When Christ was on earth, they were still in their second probationary period, which was not up till AD 34. After that, nationally, God withdrew all commitments to the nation, though he did not withdraw the opportunity for the Jew to leave off his Jewishness and become a Christian. That's their explanation, see? And of course, sending them to the lost sheep after he died and ascended, that would necessarily, clearly only refer to the individual Jew who's lost and willing to listen, not to any identification as we would understand the descendants of Joseph to be. Is there any question all the way back? Yes, corner.
Do they refer to the phrase "in that day" only to the past, or do they refer to the future as well?
In that day clearly means the past. Unless a later writer says that you can apply it somewhere in the future. I'm very glad that's clear to you. That is a part of the problem. That unless a later writer or Ellen G. White or John the Apostle has given a later fulfillment of how it's really going to happen, you can enjoy studying it, but you can never be sure, and the probability is it will never be fulfilled like it's written, because it was written for Israel, and it won't be fulfilled other than in the church if it is fulfilled. See? The whole thing is erroneous, because it was based on the assumption that at a certain time, a misunderstanding not only of Daniel 8 to 2300 evenings and mornings, but a misunderstanding of the 490 years. Because the last half of that week did not go from 31 to 34. The last half of that week has yet to be fulfilled. Yes?
How do they treat the beast power and the dreams that Daniel had and Nebuchadnezzar had about the beasts?
That's a separate subject. I do cover that in the 3-week ministerial refresher program for those who are ordained. It takes me 3 hours to go through the whole thing, and we have 15 minutes. So, I will say at this point, their commentary, if you ever want to look at it, will be refreshing in quite a different way. You will discover that after the deadly wound was afflicted on this beast, and there were 10 horns that followed, that those 10 horns, I will quickly say, were the supposed 10 divisions of the Roman Empire, and there has never been any succession of restorations. In fact, every restoration of the Roman Empire from 554 till today is looked upon not as a fulfillment of prophecy, but of man attempting to defy prophecy, that it isn't supposed to be restored. Where have you been? You haven't been reading this. Just been reading our literature. All right, you're convinced. I'm glad of that. But this is the problem. Once you get off the track, you keep going off the track. And as Mr. Armstrong has said, until you get back at that point where the light was when you left it, you will discover you have gone further and further from the light. Now there's a yes.
How about the day of the Lord?
The day of the Lord would be equivalent to that day. Now remember the picture of all these chapters that I referred to but didn't read. from Isaiah, some from Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Malachi, all picture, according to them, the establishment of the kingdom of God in ancient Israel among a people to whom salvation was supposedly offered. And if they had repented, accepted that salvation, accepted God's government, it would have been established. They have no more judgment of that than Jesus' own disciples at first did when they asked him, will you at this time establish the kingdom? That is this the time of the day of the Lord? And the disciples were told that it wasn't given to them to know when it would be, but it was quite clear when Jesus ascended it wasn't them. Now, the Adventists simply don't understand that. They have assumed that the day of the Lord and all those prophecies about in that day pertain to the past. It may have gone up all the way to the present, but it should have begun in the past, and none of them will have any fulfillment after AD 34 through Israel, literally, unless we can find somewhere in the Bible that some later writer like John gives a new twist to those prophecies in the sense of how they may be fulfilled with the Christian church. Which, of course, just shows you how much of the Bible they have suddenly dumped. Because the only prophecy they even quote out of the Old Testament, for which a New Testament writer gives a clear explanation, is John chapter 20 in Revelation. John records it, Jesus gave it, pertaining to Gog and Magog. And otherwise, whatever has been fulfilled, they say, fine. What has not been fulfilled, they simply wipe off the books. Yes?
You're mentioning the 2300 years. What do the Adventists do with the 1803, I believe it was 1917, fulfillments for Israel and Judah, respectively?
Nothing. It's irrelevant. They don't have any reference in their literature to 2520 years of seven times. They simply have no understanding of that. That is found in the literature of the British Israel World Federation as a secular group. All right, have a few more minutes. I don't know if Mr. Black will let you out early. Yes, there's a lady here.
Do they think that the Holy Spirit can give any revelation or any power to the Jews?
To whom?
To human beings. Or what do they feel?
They do believe in the Trinity. They do not normally mention it. Their problem, of course, is how you can be begotten of the Holy Spirit in you if the Holy Spirit itself is a person. We don't need to go into the problem of the Trinity. That's not the subject of this class. But they would have assumed that in some way the Holy Spirit, therefore, was promised under the Old Covenant in order for them to be held responsible as a nation. I don't want to go any further there because they may have their own view as to, you know, the role. Most of them really rely on themselves for righteousness. That's what it amounts to. They're cooperating with God. You remember the quotation? All right. We'll let out a bit early. I felt this was the kind of subject that would come as a sour revelation. And if you are interested in just looking at the volume before you leave, I'm here to let you see it. I think it is helpful to realize to what extent their view is so far off-center that it confirms what is not related to prophecy that Mr. Armstrong says, but related to God's plan, that is the very basic problem that they face that the Church of God understands. And that is that this isn't the only day of salvation. It's one of the most basic themes that the church can define for the brethren. Without it, you can't understand prophecy, as illustrated here. Thank you for your rapt attention.